honestly, many of us just thought 2,000, maybe. And to think that there's some in here who were born after the year 2000. Beginnings, not always the easiest, are they? We think of some of the things that we started, and we can maybe even go back and think of, wow, that was not easy. Learning how to swim, staring at the water, supposed to hold your breath and then do what? Hold on. Or learning to ride a bike. Beginnings. I remember my father, he just got a bike for me, and I thought, well, great, I have a bike. No training wheels. I think I was 8 years old. I got my first bike. I can remember it was orange, banana seat. Anybody remember those seats? I had one of those big handlebars. And he stood right behind me and said, okay, you pedal. You just pedal. And he balanced the bike. I was on it, and I started to pedal, and he was right behind me, just pushing, go, keep going, keep going. The one thing I didn't know was to turn. So I just kept going. And soon enough, I stopped pedaling because I was going to crash into a pole or something else. But learning or beginnings are not always that easy. Nonetheless, we experience them daily. A new job. First day of school. For some of our students going back to school. New semester. And these beginnings bring questions. As we stand before the year 2015, I'm sure a lot of you are thinking already, what will be different this year? What will change this year? What can I do to make things better, not just for myself, but for those around me? And these are good questions. They're important questions. In fact, the Bible talks to us about beginnings. The first book of the Bible is called what? Genesis. And in Hebrew, it's actually beginning. Bereshit. The word that it starts the book off, that's how it's called, beginnings. So today I want to share with you what the Bible has to say regarding beginnings. And specifically, I'll be using the Gospels. Pastor Jeff shared with us two sermons on the first two chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. And I want to share with you again, what Matthew has to say regarding beginnings, what Mark has to say regarding beginnings, what Luke has to say regarding beginnings, and what the Gospel of John has to say regarding beginnings. They are important. And the neat thing is that in each Gospel, who is presented in each Gospel? Jesus. The Messiah is presented in each Gospel. And this idea I grabbed from a scholar by the name of Joachim Klassen. He's an emeritus professor of classics. That means he teaches Latin and Greek. I know some of you might think, who today wants to learn Latin and Greek? But he teaches it at this university in Germany. And he was studying the Greek texts of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there he found some really interesting things that I would like to share with you this morning. So we'll go first with the Gospel of Matthew. And we'll start there by finding what Matthew has to say in that first chapter, first book, first verse. And it starts by saying, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of whom? The son of Abraham. Matthew doesn't only go back to David, but he goes back to Father Abraham, an important figure for Israel. The promise was given to Abraham that through his seed, all nations would be blessed. And to David was given the promise that on his throne, someone would sit eternally. And these were promises that the Jewish people were waiting to be fulfilled. So Matthew, knowing this about his audience, starts by saying, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. This term book in the Greek is biblos. And we find it also in the Old Testament by the prophet Nahum. He begins by saying, the book of the vision of Nahum. So for most of those who were listening in Matthew's time, they regarded and said, sounds prophetic. What Matthew's about to say seems important. But you also find this phrase, book and generation, in the very beginning of Scripture, in the book of Genesis. And if you have your Bibles, I would like to invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4. And we read there the book of the coming into being, or the book of the origins of what? Of the heavens and the earth. In Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, we find this phrase again. This is the book of the generations of whom? Of Adam, in the day that God created man in the likeness of God made he him. Matthew goes to these words found in Genesis to tell us that he's about to tell us about someone who was there from the beginning. Someone who was there when the heavens and the earth was created. Someone who was there when mankind was created. And I want to say that as Matthew continues his gospel, he basically tells us that this person that was there at the beginning of creation is the same person who will create a new heaven and a new earth, is the same person that will create a new humankind. Amen? He starts his gospel by presenting Jesus as the Son of David, the Messiah, the promised one. We'll go now to Mark chapter 1, and we'll see how he begins his gospel. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of whom? Of Jesus Christ. The Son of whom? Of God. Mark does something different. He doesn't call Jesus the Son of David, but he calls Jesus the Son of God. And he uses this word again, beginning. Where do we find this word beginning in the Old Testament? We find it in the book of Genesis, and we also find it in the book of Hosea, another Old Testament prophet. So again, he gets the attention of all those who are listening as he's writing this letter or as he's sharing this message, because it's a message of good news. That's what gospel means, right? It's the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When you think of good news, you think of Jesus Christ. We think of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what he was trying to relate to his listeners. And the word beginning here is not just stated to tell us he's starting his gospel, but it's there to state that Jesus is the cause. He's the originator. He is the creator of that which he then talks about from chapter 1 all the way until the last chapter of his gospel. He presents Jesus as the Son of God, the cause, the reason, the result of all that is good in this world. So he also uses in verse 2, you will notice, the saying, as it is written where? in the prophets. Mark, right from the beginning, says, I'm not just telling you that Jesus is the Son of God, but I want to give you scriptural support for this. And he quotes two prophets. He quotes the prophet Isaiah, and he also mentions the prophet Malachi. I want you to go now quickly to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and we want to look at its beginning there. The first chapter, first verse. And Luke is a little different in that he doesn't address a group of people, but he's addressing a person. And what's the name of this person? Theophilus. In chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us," which, again, the word "from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." And here again we see Luke introducing this letter, inviting the reader, Theophilus, to pay attention to the message that is in this gospel, because this gospel has truth. This gospel has to do with what they believe, and it was witnessed by those from the very beginning. Joachim Klassen writes regarding the Gospel of Luke something that I want to share with you. From the very beginning, Luke is most obviously concerned to leave no doubt in the reader's mind that he is talking about God and God's actions, and about people who consciously value their lives in the light of God and expect to be valued accordingly. In Luke chapter 1, we find the name of Zechariah, a priest who received a message that he was going to have a son with his wife Elizabeth. We find the story of two other prophets who were there as well in the temple. We find the story of Mary as she meets with an angel by the name of Gabriel. And Luke is very detailed in giving us the information about the names and places and times that all these people met as it pertained to the Messiah, as it pertained to Jesus and his first coming. Now I would like to take you to the Gospel of John. And John does something different than all the other Gospels. John chapter 1, verse 1. And we'll spend most of our time in the Gospel of John, one of my favorite Gospels. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was" who? The Word was God. In the beginning. The same phrase that we find in what book? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis doesn't explain where God came from. It just says, it states that God was there. Amen? God was there in the beginning, creating light. God was there in the beginning, creating the skies. God was there in the beginning, creating the water. God was there in the beginning, creating the sun, the moon, the stars. God was there in the beginning, creating the birds that fly in the sky. God was there in the beginning, creating the fish, the whales, and all that lives in it. God was there in the beginning when he created Adam and Eve. God was there, brothers and sisters. And John uses this phrase, in the beginning, to remind us also that the Word was there already in the beginning. That the Word was with God in the beginning. That the Word was God in the beginning. And verse 2 tells us the same was in the beginning with God. I know that beginnings are scary. Beginnings might cause us a little bit of anxiety. Beginnings can be perplexing. We wish to see the end result, don't we? And we start something. We would love to know how it's all going to end. The Bible tells us, though, that in every beginning, God is there. Amen? Jesus is there. Every day, every week, every month, every new year, God is there. John invites us to put our trust in that God. We hear of New Year's resolutions. We think of, it's not so much about how much you want something or you desire something, but it's how you set your priorities to achieve that goal, right? Does God want to be part of all of our goals, brothers and sisters? He wants to be part of all of the goals for this new year, 2015. He wants to share with us. He wants to guide us. He wants to show us. And if I think of anybody who could help me with the challenges that I face, and I'm sure you face challenges too, wouldn't you want somebody who's been there with you from the beginning? From the very beginning. In my case, February 21, 1973. In the city of Philadelphia. Born to a Mexican father and a Cuban mother. In a place where I thought everybody spoke Spanish. Until I walked out of my house. I found out, wow, people speak here another language. God was there from the beginning. Amen? And he was watching. And he was guiding my parents who had recently immigrated to this country. And as I look back, I can see how God, year after year, was guiding my parents to make good decisions and was guiding me in making the right decisions. John tells us in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Something that we find in the beginning again, life. We find it in Genesis chapter 1 and onward. And we also find this word light. And we all understand that light's important, isn't it? We know what happens when at home we don't have any electricity, right? It means trouble in the kitchen, maybe. Trouble, especially if it gets dark, finding things at home. Trouble maybe going outside. For those of you who went on the DNA mission trip here in Arizona, walking outside of where we were staying, it was totally dark. And the only thing you could really see was the bright, shining stars. Beautiful. Something I got to see also in Cuba. Electricity comes in and out. At nighttime, darkness all over. But you could look up and see the stars by the billions. Beautiful. And God here tells us through his disciple John, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. As I read this, it told me something. Samuel, there are a lot of things you can pursue in life. Good things, paying off your loans, that's important. Maybe moving into a new home. Maybe traveling this year to visit family. And there's so many things that we can pursue. And you probably have your own list of things you want to pursue and you want to see happening this year. But what if we all took the time daily to say, God, I want to seek life. There's nothing else I want. I just want life. And I know that this life is in you. I want to seek your face. I want to seek your word. I want to seek your law. I want to live according to it. Is that something that is doable, brothers and sisters? It's doable. In fact, it is the best thing we could ever do. The Bible constantly tells us in the Old Testament as well as in the New. You've heard this. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. In the Old Testament you have, seek me and ye shall live. It's the only way we can enjoy the things that we have, correct? If we have life, there's no other way of enjoying what we have. So John invites us who read this text, those who listen to this text, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 10 tells us, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. But then he notes something, and the world knew him not. Hard to imagine the creator of the universe, the living word, coming to this world, his creation, and not being noticed by anybody. Not being known. In fact, we know that it took a while for the disciples to know who he was. It took a while for his own mother, Mary, to understand who he was, the Messiah, and what was the plan, what was the gospel. But verse 12 also tells us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Is that something that you and I want to be? That's something you and I want to be. We want to be the sons of God. And the only thing that John tells us we need to do is receive him. Receive this word. And he will give us the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13 tells us, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word was made flesh. What word? Who is John talking about? Do we know today? In fact, the entire Gospel of John just expounds on who this word is and how in him we can find life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. This word life appears 36 times in the Gospel of John. As if saying, seek life. There's nothing better to pursue but to pursue life. I did a little study, and I went to the minor prophets, and I found the following. I would like to share this with you. I found it interesting in the study here of John chapter 1. And I went to Hosea chapter 1, verse 1, where it mentions the beginning, the word of the Lord that came to Hosea. Joel 1:1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel. Jonah 1:1. Now the word of the Lord that came unto Jonah. Micah 1:1. The word of the Lord that came unto Micah. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came unto Zephaniah. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Israel by Malachi. John chapter 1, verse 14. The word that became flesh. Amen? The word that became flesh. The same word that came to all these prophets. Decided one day, at one point in history, to do something that had never happened in the history of the universe. And he made the decision from the very beginning, from the moment he created the heavens and the earth, from the moment he created you and me, he made the decision, if anything goes wrong, I will become one of them. I will give my life for humanity. And that's exactly what Jesus did, brothers and sisters. The word came, and you can fill in the blank with your name, came to Samuel, came to David, came to Michael, came to us so that we could receive it. And by receiving it, we could have life and life eternal. Is that good news? That's good news. How do we share this good news with others? How do we share this with our family, friends, neighbor? You know, there are still many that don't know about the word that became flesh. Or there are many who don't care about the word that became flesh. We've experienced that too. But in all beginnings, day by day, week by week, month by month, and year by year, the promise is that the word that became flesh is here with us. Amen? And he is able to help us with any challenge we might be facing. The one who created the heavens and the earth is the one who can create a new heart in us. Amen? The one who created the universe. Will it be too much of a problem to deal with one of our problems? To help us resolve one of our issues? And daily, Jesus is there. Daily, Jesus is calling and wanting to have a relationship with us. We might find this daunting. I find it daunting. The God of the universe wants to have a relationship with me. What do I do? How can I have a relationship this year with the King of the universe? And the invitation is, by John, go to the Word. We can have a relationship with God if we take the time to be in His Word, if we take the time to pray, if we take the time, like you have done today, to fellowship with other Christian believers who believe that the Word that became flesh is coming again. Amen? John invites us to trust the Word of God and to behold its glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Is that something you want to do this year, brothers and sisters? Do you want to behold the Word of God? I want to behold the Word of God. There's not much to see out there, is there? I mean, I turn on the TV and it seems like it's the same thing over and over. It's just happening somewhere else with a different name, different location, different time. And it's all sad news. But in the Word of God, we find good news. And the good news is that Jesus is coming again. And he will make all things new again. Will you pray with me this year that that will happen soon? Will you pray with me that he will continue to work in each one of our hearts? I think he wants us to reflect him, the one begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Amen.